Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to another episode of Low-Key Talks with Aisha, an OI podcast where I get very loud about the things that is not talked enough about. I would like to take a moment to say thank you to those of you who have been tuning in, sharing, and not only sharing, but also sharing your feedbacks with me. This episode is all about getting loud, starting conversations that may come off a bit uncomfortable, and hopefully in the end, it will get us talking. Stay in touch with the most recent episodes and discussions at Low-Key Talks with Aisha. As always, I have so much to say, and your messages are a great reminder for me to continue to get us talking and to continue getting loud about what matters. Today's episode, I have a special guest, a good friend of mine. Her name is Zimzum. She will be getting us get loud about the things that matter within our community and society in general, but mostly in the Somali community, and get us really talking about what exactly is No'ab. I will be attaching Zimzum's socials, even though she's not on socials like that, but I'll be adding her contacts if you have any questions, feedbacks, or anything in that aspect. Please keep in mind that this episode, the things that are mentioned, are merely based on personal experiences, research, and definitely a reflection on the things that one had witnessed personally or in the community as well. This episode is very different from previous episodes. In previous episodes, I mostly focused on mental wellness, childhood trauma, traumas in general, what is anxiety or depression. This episode, Zimzum and I will be taking a moment to discuss about what it's like being a survivor, who are survivors, and how can we go about helping those who came out of a place of being abused, whether it's physical abuse, mental abuse, or even financial abuse. I would like to formally introduce Zimzum. Zimzum, welcome on today's episode. Thank you so much for taking the time of your day to sit down with me and unfold this very important topic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure for me to come on board in terms of talking about this topic, because it's a very sensitive topic, and I do want to give the disclaimer that my personal experience and my story is not a sexual abuse story. So I want to make sure that we're very loud and we clarify that. But for any survivors out there, whether it's verbal abuse, stalking abuse, financial abuse, to have the courage to come forward.
And before we proceed, I would like to, before we proceed, by definition, what is abuse? Abuse is an improper usage or treatment of a thing, can be also a person, often to unfairly or improperly gain benefit. Abuse can come in many forms, as stated by Zam.
Yes, so I really like how you define abuse, right? We want to make sure that we are very clear. And we're very clear and we're very loud, right? And especially in our community.
Z, you mentioned that you're going to be telling us or explaining to us what it means being a survivalist. And exactly, could you tell us what your takes are on abuse or the form of abuse that you personally experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to also give another disclaimer that, you know, for any survivor speaking out and for them to just know that, you know, you don't have to come forward if you don't want to. You can take your time, but it is really important for myself to speak on my story. I cannot say many women can relate, but I went through a situation where took the time to try to, you know, formally date me or whatever the case may be, and I declined, and it slowly turned into verbal harassment, social media harassment, stalking, full-blown crazy psycho. And it's, you could say this is almost like a Lifetime movie, where it's scary for anybody to experience this, really. You know, it you cannot process this because you're sitting there trying to understand, well, why would anybody resort to this, right? To this method of not accepting rejection and just going forward and just trying to ruin your day and your life because a simple rejection, right?
Yes.
So that is abuse, if you really think about it. And a lot of women, I could say a lot of women can relate, because we're living in a time age where social media gives a lot of people
the power
to abuse people, right? They think that they have the right to come to your house. They think they have the right to know everything about you. They think they have the right to invade your personal space, your freedom, your security. It's as if you owe them something, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a very terrifying experience. As a human being, you want to have your own personal security, your own personal space, your privacy. And when that is being violated, you feel like you are in a terrible state, really. And from my experience, the person resorted to blackmailing.
Mm-hmm,
Which is the worst kind, right? We're, again, just going back on to the fact that we have social media. It's very easy for people to rule out, like, oh, this person has a photo of you. You must have sent that photo. Or this person have this. He must been in a relationship with you. And it totally is the opposite in nature, right?
Yes. And I think I like how you mentioned about the social media aspect of abuse, because I think people do that so often they don't realize that, because they have that access. Like, just because they hit the follow button and you accept it or confirm their request, they all of a sudden have access to your world. So if you don't respond to their message, that means you're stuck up, or can you not just, you know, think such way? But hey, who can control people's minds? But I think power can be used for good, but it's also used for bad. And it's mostly used for bad, because when we hear the word power, we automatically program in our minds that it's a bad thing. But we can also be powerful by speaking on things that matter. So you're absolutely right when you mention about social media stalking. That is the worst kind of stalking, because people have access to your life. They have access to your pictures. They have access to the places you go to, especially if you're someone who's like always sharing the things you eat and things you do.
Oh my God. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I had to jump because that was my life. I shared everything. I shared where I went. Mm-hmm. I shared where I eat. I shared everything. I was so transparent that this incident changed my life, right?
Yes.
It really, really gave me like a whole new perspective, a whole new look as far as like...
You're right. This can also get that hearing you talk about this, mashallah, is so courageous of you, because not many people can talk about this. And also, it's, you get emotionally robbed now that you cannot even post a picture of yourself, or you cannot even share one, you know, saying where you're at or what you're doing.
Absolutely. So I feel like in my scenario, I was a person that used social media a lot, whether I was going to restaurants, eating, where I was doing, if I was out of the state, I shared everything. And I didn't realize the danger of social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can be preying on your life. And until this experience happened to me, I didn't realize the value of privacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrifying experience to really think about it, right? Because you think, I'm just posting a harmless photo. I'm just posting a harmless picture of a restaurant. But you don't realize that somebody out there could be preying on you and knowing your every movement because you are allowing that.
Mm-hmm. Which that can also create a case of paranoia, if you put it.
Yeah. So you, in a state of paranoia, yes, that's definitely how you, that's the best way to describe it, right? Because you feel like everywhere you're going at this point, mm-hmm. Is this person after me? How much information does this person know of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, right now, live a very private life, right? And I really value my privacy because of what has transpired. And I want a lot of our listeners to know nothing's wrong with posting a photo. Nothing's wrong with posting anything about yourself. Don't feel like, you know, you have to be paranoid. You want to give that disclaimer. Share your life and share your world, but just be cognizant. There's people out there that will see what's going on, and you may be attracting other people that you may not want to attract, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And we're also not speaking from a place of judgment, because as a community, we're so prone to put the blame on people, especially those who are trying to come out of abusive relationship, abusive situation in general.
Yeah. So my particular wasn't a relationship. It was an abusive mm-hmm. situation, right?
There was no relationship.
I actually went to the prosecutor's office, and I actually had to have legitimate evidence of this person following me. And, you know, they advised me to take a picture. Mm-hmm. You know, if you feel like he's after you, take a picture. So there's steps. We want to definitely discuss that for anybody who is in a stalking situation. Please make sure that you gather all the evidence that you need and make sure you take pictures of where you think that you see him. Those are really important advices that I got from law enforcement. So we want to make sure that we're also giving that helpful advice. But back to your point.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that people understand that my situation, even though it wasn't a sexually abusive situation,
mm-hmm.
it could easily gotten to that, right?
Absolutely.
This person was pursuing me, and I declined, and it turned into a whole stalking.
Yeah. And had you not declined, they would at the end of the day show who they are. Like, they would, that mask would still come off.
Correct.
if you were so quick to accept them pursue you in a relationship, then that would definitely fall under the category of abuse in a sexual matter. But you didn't, alhamdulillah. But not many victims can say such thing. Not those that who had experienced sexual abuse in a relationship can say such thing. We always tend to blame the survivors. We always tend to ask why they're doing what they're doing, or why are they coming out now? Why did they wait this long? Or what is the purpose of coming out to speak up right now? It takes years for a person to heal. So we're so prone to saying,
why now, right? Why now? And,
or get over it.
Definitely get over it. And those are two insensitive things. And I really want to point out that each individual experience that somebody goes through, we have to be very sensitive of that and cognizant of that, right? So jumping back to my experience, social media has essentially, to me, has been used as a tool to destroy my image, my life. And I wouldn't say destroy, but it caused a lot of trauma in my life. And really want to stress for anybody who's listening that if you have experienced similar circumstances, just know that, you know, there's people that are supporting you and that people empathize with you. And whenever you are ready to talk about it, we're more than happy to encourage you and empower you. And for me, particularly, speaking about this issue took a lot of time, right? I had to heal, and I had to really dig in within myself, and I had to also just take some time and focus on myself, and versus, you know, trying to speak about things at that moment, right?
Yes. That is so important for you to take a break and kind of let things unfold itself, especially I can imagine what you went through. But from an outside perspective, I think abuse, like, you know, does have many forms. It falls under many categories, that includes financial abuse. I wouldn't, like, before we even get to physical abuse or sexual abuse or anything like that, it can be verbal abuse, it can be stalking, it can be blackmailing, or any form of a thing that is improperly used against you. So I think people who are coming out should really have the time of their own to come forward and to speak up about what they went through. It doesn't matter what you went through. I remember we discussed about this, and I think I've had this discussion with many other people. I really don't want to mention her, but at the same time, start respecting her for her courageousness and for actually taking the time to speak up. And that is Mama Malyun. Like, she went through some crazy stuff, like, you know, that could fuck up a person's mind in so many ways. And when she came forward and she started speaking, our people start speaking to her or start looking at her like she's crazy, or she had left the religion, or if what she had went through was when she was 6 or 7 or 10 or 14, whatever, and now she's in like her middle ages and she's talking about it, and it got to her a point where she had to come forward in social media and speak about what she went through. That's a different type of courage. Like, that's that we should not dismiss her, that we should not call her names, that we should not, like, that we should create spaces. We need to create spaces for people to speak. We cannot write our own stories then, and we expect other people to write our stories, then they will only put glitter and whatever the heck they want to do with our stories. They would devalue it. And
yeah, I really like how you said passing judgment, right?
Yes.
If I feel like as human beings, we judge, right? We judge every day. We don't have the full story of anything, and we just judge it from our side of our point of view, with having least of information, right? And like you have said, when somebody comes forward and somebody's talking about their experience, especially for women, it's quickly dismissive, right? It's more so victim blaming, victim shaming, versus empowering the person and letting and encouraging the person and letting them know, like, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for coming out and speaking about this. Like, it takes a lot of courage, because you're dealing with people who are going to be criticizing you. I remember in college campuses, they even said to certain women, well, why are you wearing that dress? Right? Why are you wearing provocative? It's as if men cannot control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and women are more likely to come forward than men, right? And we want to also let men know that men are also abused. Children are also abused. So we don't want to just kind of single women out. And women are more likely to come forward and speak about their abuse. And I'm so sad. It's really disturbing to hear Mama Mayoon's story,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and how our Somali community reacts to it. It's really disappointing, but I would love our community to come together,
mm-hmm,
and support anybody who's going through a situation similar to hers or mine, and
create those safe spaces. I do believe that there are spaces out there that are for Somalis and by Somalis, but I am not gonna lie, I haven't personally end up seeing services for those who had came out of such abuse. Mashallah, our community, you know, we stand up together no matter what. When something, you know, we need to get up, or we need to start using hashtags, or we need to start posting a person's picture, we need to get on socials.
I just wanted to say that abuse, the only time abuse is really shown importance to is when something escalates to murder, right? And it's really sad. It's really, really sad that that's the only time that people take the time to notice, okay, this person was abused, especially in domestic violence relationships, you know, mm-hmm. you see that the person maybe came forward X amount of times and
yes.
until the person was abused. Mentally, I also want to say that mentally, when a person goes through an abusive situation, they are very on guard, right? They are making sure that, you know, I don't want to put myself in that circumstances again with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to let the viewers know that when you are in an abusive situation, whether it's stalking, please do consult with law enforcement.
You said something about judgment earlier, mm-hmm. and I would like to kind of go back to that. And that is passing judgment, right?
Yes.
So if you're listening to this, we're going to clarify over and over again that we are not speaking from a place of judgment. We are not pointing fingers at our people. We're not saying this podcast is all about not have the things that we are shamed. If I were to sit down at a coffee shop by many Abtiala or Real, you know what I'm saying, in the Somali community, and they say, like we tend to blind ourselves and we tend to pass judgment, as you said, like we say, what was she wearing? But how about where a relative abuses another relative, or a friend abuses a family, or like it's just like and it can be any abuse. Like we're talking about from stalking abuse to physical abuse to financial abuse. Like even if this happens between partners, about reaching out to law enforcement. I think that's very important. I'm so heated the fact that a person cannot reach out to extended family members, like how we're close to each other in our community. We cannot reach out to each other because we're afraid of shame. And I think shame is part of coming out from a situation of abuse, right? Like we tend to say, hey, you know, this person is getting abused. Like you can't, like, it's just, you can't even visualize, or you can't even imagine
Yeah, it's really hard to process in itself. When someone's going through that situation, when I was going through that situation, there was a lot of criticism as far as, why are you not saying anything?
Mm-hmm.
Because the person that was stalking me resorted to going online, mm-hmm. and he would talk about my family. He would talk about everything, like in a way that he wanted people to view me negatively. He even went as far as wrapping me with accusation. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Like as a person, like you are being now mm-hmm. accused of X, Y, and Z, and
which
people
is,
online
yeah.
were jumping on board, and I was silent. And I to me, I will never change that decision, because I told myself to even entertain this person,
mm-hmm.
I don't even go there. I don't even give him that importance, right?
Yes.
So with a lot of the criticism that I got from a few of my friends was just like, why are you not saying anything? Why are you not defending yourself? He's online bullying you, calling mm-hmm. you all kinds of names, lying on your name, trying to basically throw you on, just basically throw you down in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it outraged me, but I kept that to myself. I made sure
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't gonna resort to that level. And it's hard when someone's going online trying to bully you as well. And it became to a point where there's so many people out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
With no idea of knowing my story and not knowing any, that does not have any clue of anything, will jump on board, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing I wanna talk about, is that when people start bullying somebody,
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of people come together,
mm-hmm.
It creates the feeling like that you just sit there and you say, well, why are there so many people that I don't
We're
even
so
know?
We're so quick to
jumping on board and bullying somebody they don't know.
Right.
So people can easily jump on you, and they think that they personally know you. They think they know the inside and out of you as a person, and that itself is problematic.
Yes.
Right? You only get a snippet view
of what the scenario is, and it could be a lot of falsehood, but even with that information, you jump and you target the person and you bully them.
Yes. Just like when I was scrolling through Mama Yoon's YouTube video, just scrolling through and reading those comments, I could easily fall on the wagon of, you know, one of the people who are trying to not have her speak up or not give her that space to speak up. I know that, you know, Mama Yoon got abused at a young age, mm-hmm. and at a place that she trusted, that she would, ideally we would say she should feel safe, but she didn't. I know that you mentioned about child abuse.
Yes. So yeah, child abuse. That's a topic in itself, right? It's
absolutely
a lot to dissect, and it usually happens in places that the parents trust them, right?
Yes.
And in this age that we're living in, is very important that, you know, since we are growing up and being parents as well, that we are cognizant of where we're sending our children.
Yes.
And we're also educating them, right? Letting them know if anything happens to you, this and what, this X, Y, and Z, please let us know.
That they can come to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we can take that effective action.
Yes. And before we conclude this episode, what is one thing that you can leave behind if someone is listening to or who is wondering about where to go to or how to go about seeking help or even seeking help for a loved one?
Yeah. So I keep reiterating this multiple times, is that as a survivor, you want to make sure that you let the survivor know any experience that you're going through. Please know that you have the love and the support and the space that you need. And whatever time that you feel comfortable to come forward and talk about it, you have a support system here. And I also want to make sure that we are also aware that since they are speaking out, it is a very, very vulnerable situation to be in. And like we have mentioned, women are statistically more prone to speak up because men feel shameful of speaking up about the situation, right?
Yes.
It's almost a shameful experience for them. So we want to realize that when they are speaking up, that when people are victim shaming and victim blaming, they are already going through a vulnerable situation.
Yes.
And you are inflicting wounds on them. They are actually trying to, they're bearing their wounds out and they're bearing it bravely in front of everybody. And that is a courageous act. And we also want to let people know that words are powerful, right?
Absolutely.
And as women, and it just men included, we are throw words carelessly, not realizing the effect that it has on us, right? And we just want to remind people that words are powerful. Please do speak kind words. We are human, so we, you know, even myself, sometimes I would say something out of line, but I just want to remind everyone that words are powerful. And we should bear in mind that when a survivor is speaking their story, please send them encouraging words and
absolutely
uplift their spirit.
And do not be so dismissal, because one thing we need to really like undo and unlearn is being dismissive when a person comes forward and start questioning about their character. No one would want to come out or come forward about a matter that is so important or so crucial in their life, or that had a big effect on them, just to get coming out to speak about what had happened to them. Thank you so much, Zamzam, for sitting down with me and taking the time of your day just to kind of unwind this very important topic. And I'm sure it's very triggering to those who are going through this matter. And I hope that Allah heals all those who are going through these painful situations or had went through these painful situations. And you're very courageous to come forward and talk about this matter, even though one may look at it so lightly and say, oh, that's just social media, you can, you know, lock your phone or block the person. But it's easy said than done.
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me and for actually giving me the platform and the space to talk about my experience and to be able to inspire or, you know, educate anybody that may be going through the experience and giving them the positive messages and hopefully uplifting them and empowering them. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, inshallah, we get to sit down in future episode or episodes to talk about matters that are very important in our community and society itself, inshallah. And on that note, thank you so much for tuning in into Low-Key Talks with Aisha and Noaya podcast. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.